we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
Coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. This is Pastor Mike and I'm online for now, temporarily. We'll see if it holds. I'm not kidding you. I had like 10 minutes left from last Thursday. I could hear it raining outside. And kaboom. Power goes out for 3 seconds. That's it. 3 seconds. And I've not been able to manage the file. So what I'll have to do with last Thursday's broadcast is screen capture it off Facebook. Now, if you have not seen it, you want to watch it, it's still there. Facebook has what I like, a feature that whatever's broadcast, if they don't take it down for some reason, they leave it up there. You can watch it start to finish. So it's there. If you go to Facebook.com, Pastor Mike, Facebook.com/Pastor Mike Online, Thursday's program will definitely be there. Tonight, I get a little time on my hands. I will screen capture it, convert it, send it up to YouTube, send it up to Sermon Audio, so it will be there. When you're ready to watch it, it will be there. You know, I have something in my mind that I was going to read, and I don't remember what it was. It was from Thursday, and it may be on CryptidCreatures.com. For those of you who have seen something that is extraordinary, CryptidCreatures.com. See if that gets it. I hope I still have the website. I hope I still own it. Although it's not pulling anything up. If it's not, we'll get that fixed. And, no, it might have been taken down for some reason. Maybe we just forget. Maybe it was paid for with a credit card that expired. We had that happen a few times with some websites and so on. We only own, like, I don't know, 50 websites. I don't remember how many. It's not that many, but we own a few of them. It's hard to keep track of them. CryptidCreatures.com. So we'll try to get that back up. And there was a guy who gave us a testimony. You know what? I think, let me try Plan B. I may be able to find it in the Gmail account of CryptidCreatures.com. If you want to send an email, send to CryptidCreatures. Let's see what it is. No, witness. Witness at CryptidCreatures.com. If you have any kind of sighting, any kind of strange event that has taken place, I take what I am told seriously from the ladies in our church and a few of the children. They claim now that they have seen a child in this church, a specter, a geist, a poltergeist, spirit. Now, obviously, I do not believe, and the Bible does not teach in any way, shape, or form, that this is a dead person's spirit roaming around. It needs to be released. So we need the Marshmallow Man to come out and tear down half the city and whatever. Okay? I don't believe that. And the Bible does not teach that. And stay away from that stuff. You know what's funny to me is that you have all these TV series, Ghost Hunters, and they've never caught a ghost. The Bigfoot series of various kinds. They've never captured a Bigfoot. Not even, I think, on real film or video or photograph or whatever. You see these fuzzy things and you're told that's supposed to be a Bigfoot. I've just never seen it. But these shows are very popular right now, and people making a lot of money off of it. And when you get in, if you're going to do something like this for your vocation or your avocation or whatever, I recommend being born again first. Is what I recommend. Because what you're doing is that you're going against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. You're going against that. And, let's see here. Here's the Sasquatch one. But if you're going to go against these things, I suggest having a helmet of salvation and a shield of faith and everything else that God tells you to carry along with you, because you're dealing with things that you, I think I said this the other day and I'm going to say it again. I don't believe that some random person just uttering the name Jesus Christ makes devils immediately go away. If you remember from the book of Acts, there was the seven sons of Sceva. Let's look into that, shall we? They thought that they were going to cast out devils. This is Acts chapter 19. And Acts chapter 19, in verse 13, the Bible says, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. You listen to us. We're heavy hitters, and we have a camera crew, and we have our own TV show, we have our own blog." And the Bible says there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house wounded and naked. And I believe the Bible. I believe that one man beat those guys bloody blue, ripped their clothes off, and had them so scared that it made them leave running out of there naked. Because they said, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached." They didn't no more believe in the Jesus that Paul preached than nothing. They didn't believe in it. And that's what some of the people have said to Christ, apparently. Lord, have we not cast out devils in thy name? And Jesus says, excuse me, that's not what gets you into heaven. I never told you to go ghost hunting. I never told you to go out looking for haunted houses and evil spirits. And I told you to believe the word. I told you to believe what I said. I told you to believe in the name of the Son of the everlasting God for salvation. That grace cometh by that salvation cometh by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's what some people do. They boast about their occult related abilities, that they know more about the occult, or they know more about casting out devils than anybody else does. They are the expert. Therefore, God must love them more than he loves anybody else. And people don't fall for that garbage. Don't fall for it. There's a reason why in Matthew 25, that Jesus is going to judge this world in a particular manner. And he says, let's see here, in verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat, and I was thirsty, and you gave me drink, and I was a stranger, and you took me in, naked, and you clothed me, and I was sick, and you visited me, and I was in prison, and you came unto me. And then shall, listen to this, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? Or when saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, verily. And this is one of the things that I love about the Lord that I serve. Because of his heart. Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. The least. Jesus cares about the worst of us. The ones who've had drug problems, the ones who have had alcohol problems, the ones who have had marital problems, the ones who have been addicted to all kinds of things. Their eyes look upon things and they can't turn away. Jesus calls them the least of his brethren. But you went out to see them. You called them. You sent him a text message. You said, I just wanted to know how you're doing today. I just want you to know I love you and I'm praying for you. That's who Jesus favors. And you don't get a lot of YouTube video hits from doing stuff like that on camera. You can spend the night in a graveyard and make it look like there's sounds going on and do sound effects. And I mean, I could do that. I could go out into a graveyard somewhere where there's supposed to be occult activity and do it in the fall, late fall, early winter, because then it's really dark, it's cold, and you know everything's wet, and the leaves have fallen, the trees are look dead, and everything's gray, and you could use that effect, and then you know making somebody make sounds way out in the woods, and you can just I could do that. I could make a channel and do that and get a lot of attention out of it. But that's not serving God. Serving God is finding those people who could really use some help one day. And instead of you turning your back to them or judging them or looking to cast them out, you went to them looking for a way to keep them in. Because they must have meant something to you, which means they meant something to Jesus. Jesus had intended to keep them in, even though they fell. Even though they went back and took a drink. Even though they went back and, you know, did a snort or did some meth or, you know, whatever. Jesus is the one who loves those people. They are the least of his brethren. And he says, if you'll love them the way I love them, then you'll be my sheep on my right hand. And people, let's not ever, ever forget that. Let's not forget that as long as we live, because that's why we're here. Okay? So anyway, I was going to read a story of a guy that claims that he saw a Leviathan. I do believe it's possible. And here's why I do believe it. Let's say it was in the physical realm. Let's say it was a physical being. Now, is it possible? Let's just think about this for a minute. And I'm going to put some things up on the screen here in a little bit. But let's just think for a minute. Is it possible that with what we know about dinosaurs and the actual age of the earth, not the humanist age of the earth, but the Bible's age of the earth, which is roughly 6,000 years. Is it possible then that the dinosaurs didn't die off 65 million years ago? I would say, oh yeah, since the earth, according to the Bible, wasn't around 65 million years ago. Unless, of course, you believe in the gap theory. The gap theory is part of, I'll say, hyper-dispensationalism. Hang on. This guy. Clarence Larkin, taught that there are seven dispensations. One of them is in the gap, the white space on the paper between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. Even though there's nothing written there, he built a whole doctrine on that white blank piece of paper there. And he said that all the stories of dinosaurs and troglodytes, cavemen, and all of that stuff, that happened before Genesis 1:2. Genesis 1 verse 2. That's why he accepted the date of 65 million years ago is when the dinosaurs died out. He accepted that. even though that science is faulty. And I don't want to get into that today, but that science is faulty. Carbon dating is faulty. But he accepted it as a way to, I guess, appease the scientist who told him that dinosaur bones were 65 million years old. The truth of it is, there is no way to date dinosaur bones. There isn't. But he believed it. So he put a whole dispensation of millions of years between Genesis 1 verse 1 and Genesis 1 verse 2. And I don't do that. I do absolutely believe that dinosaurs walked with man at the same time that man did. And I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever. You know, I just remembered something. This just in, a flash, hang on one second. Where is it? Dinosaur. Why have my all caps on? Prince. Human footprints. There's a place in Texas. The guy discovered it. It is in. Let me throw this page up on the screen for you here. You'll try to make as much sense of it as I can. But there are dinosaur footprints like right here that overlap. Here we go. Here's a good one. They overlap dinosaur tracks. This is the creek. It's in Texas. Glen Rose, Texas, somewhere around in there. There's a creation museum that's been built down there. And you have on this dry creek bed dinosaur footprints clearly now overlapped with human footprints. Clearly. They're in the exact same strata. Exact same one. And what I think happened, what probably others think happened, here it is, the Paluxy River footprints. Now, there's websites that are going to say, this is so stupid, you don't even believe it. And they don't want you to believe it. The reason why they don't want you to believe it is because it doesn't support the 65 million year old dinosaur die out story. It doesn't support it. It speaks against it. In other words, it's impossible for human footprints and dinosaur footprints to be in the same place. Therefore, we're right and you're wrong. And that's their argument right there. So what I think happened was, this dinosaur walked, this human walked around the same area, and it flooded right then. Because, you know, anytime you lay out a track in the mud, the timer starts on that track. Because if it rains gently after that, that rain is eventually going to fill up any track with silt, dirt, leaves, and so on, and ruin the track. So apparently what happened was, these tracks were laid down, and the flood occurred, and what it did was instantly harden or calcify the footprints together. Now, that's one instance. Let's see. Did we read about Leviathan the other day? Yeah, I think we did. I think we did read about Leviathan. Let's look at... this is the guy that he says he saw Leviathan. Hang on, my chair fell again.
There.
No, I'm much taller. Dear Pastor Mike, one night I saw a small dragon. My brother had gone to the VFW in another little town about 15 minutes from where we live. And on this road, there is a sharp curve, so you have to slow down very slow. On the right is a Catholic church, and across from it is their graveyard. As I slowed down to make the curve up from the church, there's one of those terminals, I think, for the phone company, and on it sat a dragon. I got a good look at it. It had a long neck and wings and was slithery like a snake. Of course, I immediately started praying and asking God why I would see it. My husband thinks I saw an owl, but I know what I saw. Owls don't have long necks. In fact, they don't have much of neck at all. I have no reason to lie about this, and yes, people just grin at me if I tell them. Now, what I'm gonna tell you is this. You send me something that sounds similar to this, and I will not laugh at you. I will get it posted somehow, some way. Now, there is somebody I want you to pray for, and I'm dead serious. He has written me. He's written me twice now. And let me start out the first part of his second email. And I want you to pray for the guy, because he is obviously extremely misguided, misled, spiritually, maybe physiologically, psychologically. The name he sends is Archangel Auriel. Dear Michael Hoggard, hi, my name is Jesse. This is the woman who emailed you almost 2 years ago and told you I am Archangel Uriel. I don't think you ever even bothered to read the rest of my email. I wish you would have, although with your attitude and arrogance, you probably would not have believed the rest of what I said either, sadly. I think it's quite hypocritical to say you want to hear people's stories of supernatural things and advise them not to worry about what people at church think about them. And then you yourself came outright and slammed me publicly the way you did for only telling you the truth. I still don't believe you. I still don't believe you. I don't believe Jesse, whoever you are, that you are actually an archangel called Uriel. Now, I won't apologize for saying that. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want any of our people that are listening today to laugh at you. But I do want them to pray for you. Because you obviously need prayer. Humans in this world are not angels. Angels in this world are not human. Now, I know that they can appear as us, but that still does not make them humans. There is a clear difference between those of a celestial type and those of a terrestrial type. And the email's long. I've not read the rest of it, and I, to be honest with you, I'm not interested in reading the rest of this. I'm asking God's people to pray. Okay? Let me pull the Bible up here for you. And I probably have it in my notes. I haven't looked at some of these notes. Go to the book of Job, chapter 40. The guy who said he saw a dragon or a leviathan, this obviously would be probably of a spiritual nature, and I believe that that's probably true. I can't say that it is. I wasn't there. I didn't see it with him. But yeah, I believe the story. I believe my mother's story of her and her friend seeing the UFO. I believe the guy that told me his Bigfoot story, like, scared him to death. I believe the lady who told me the centaur story. I believe the pastor's mother, and I have the recording, her detailing to me when she was about 12 years old, they went Bigfoot hunting. When they got done, they were like, what were we thinking? Because what happened was, a young lady had come up missing in their community. This was a community in and around central Illinois. And in central Illinois, this was like in the mid-60s, when I was telling my wife this, she started Googling, you know, like Bigfoot story, Bigfoot 1960s mid-Illinois, and found that there was a whole ring of sightings back then. Well, this young lady, I don't know how old, she was probably late teens, she ended up missing. The story going around town was that she was taken by a Bigfoot. So naturally, the curiosity of children, she and this pastor's mother and her brother and a friend of theirs who was about 17, a young lady's about 17 who could drive, they decided to drive up to the spot where the young lady had been seen the last time to see what they could see. They went up to the spot, turned the car off, turned the headlights off, waited a few minutes, and there is this big 7 or 8 foot tall, hairy, humanoid thing looking at them down the hood of their car. And freaked them out. So, after it was looking in the windshield, it walked around the car. The pastor's mother had her window rolled down. She felt this hand coming in, touching her shoulder and neck. I'm dead by this point. I am dead. I've died instantly. And I asked her, was she scared? She said, don't. That's not even a question to ask. She was absolutely petrified. She said the thing got around to the back of the car and started trying to pick the car up. Boom, 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 like that. Meanwhile, it's sort of like in a typical Friday the 13th movie, lady's trying to start the car won't start. Finally, at some point, whatever it was, let the car down. She got it started. They scratched out of there, never to return again. I asked her, I said, have you told anybody this story? She said, we went home and told our parents. And they said, quit lying to us. We don't believe you. Go to bed. Typical response of a family in the 1960s who does not want anybody to know that their children saw what could very well be a Sasquatch, Bigfoot, anything like that. There's another story that I'll save that for. I'll save that maybe for a different broadcast. Job chapter 40. This is God, and he says in verse 15. Now, Job 40 and 41 are clearly describing two very large creatures that if you look in the little center piece of your Bible, the little center bar of your Bible, it's got all these little notes in it. It'll say that Job 40 is a hippopotamus. Job 41 is a crocodile. Okay? Don't believe that. No crocodile has ever been witnessed blowing steam out of its nostrils from underwater. It's never been seen before. And yet that's what this Leviathan does in Job 41. In Job 40, it describes for you the tail of what it calls a behemoth. And the behemoth tail is humongous. Bigger than an elephant trunk. Bigger than a tree trunk. Have you seen a hippopotamus tail? It's a little swishy-wishy thing. And it basically has one purpose. And that is to scatter its feces in the water when it's moving its bowels. It's like windshield wipers for your behind. And that's what it does. So let's read Job chapter 40, verse 15. Behold now, behemoth. And then he said, which I made with thee, he eateth grass as an ox. Now when God said, which I made with thee, here's what I believe that he meant by that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. This verse right here, probably one of the most hated verses amongst the liberal left, the environmentalist extremist, the tree huggers, the New Agers, everybody else, because their claim is that man is a danger and a threat to this earth. That we are destroying this planet. In fact, it's so bad now that they probably won't be able to reverse the damage that's been done. And yet, let me share with you some things that if you're inclined to believe this way, even as a Christian, let me tell you who the greatest destroyer of the environment of this planet is. It's God. It is God. God is going to unleash things in this world. He's going to drop a star from heaven called Wormwood. And a third of all of the waters of the earth are going to become totally undrinkable. And anybody who drinks them is going to die. That's God fouling the waters up. so that man nor beast. There, God's going to release, what is it? He drops a mountain in the water, Revelation 8. And he causes a third of the waters of the earth to turn to blood, so that everything that lives in those waters dies. Because they've been turned to blood and nobody can drink the water. God is going to pour out pestilences. God is basically, God is going to level every single mountain on this earth, and he's going to raise every valley on this earth to where there's like equal land everywhere. No mountains, no valleys, nothing. Man doesn't have that ability. There's no way that man can do that. God does. God has the ability. He's done it before, and I believe he's going to do it again. And then yet you have all these environmentalists going, we need money. We need to tax all the gasoline, all the cars. We need to tax everybody's breathing. We need to tax everybody for being of a certain race. Because we know that white people use up more stuff than any other race in the world. We're going to tax these people. We're going to double and triple tax these people. They're going to steal the money, of course. And they're going to invent stupid things that they say are going to protect the environment. And it's a total scam. Total scam. That's what people do. They love money so much, and they love what money gives them and what money does for them. They don't care how they get it. They don't care how they steal it. They get government programs passed through Congress. Money, billions and billions of dollars spent, and nobody knows where it goes. Let's say that you started a company. You moved to Washington, D.C., and you started a company called Schatz Enterprises. Okay? Now, Schatz Enterprises and Holdings Incorporated. What does Schatz Enterprises and Holdings Incorporated do? What do they do? Nobody knows. But checks are being written from the federal government, from the Treasury, to Schatz Company, holding, manufacturing, leasing, whatever it is. Invoices are generated. You know what invoices are? They're pieces of paper that somebody wrote on their something. And that's pretty much how easy it is. If you know the right people in Washington, D.C., to get a hold of hundreds to thousands to hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars, and if you're really high up on the scale, you can actually get by with hundreds of millions of dollars scammed out of the American government. And who, number one, if you've got power, who's going to audit you? Who's going to find out what you're doing with it? You could even start a 501c3 charitable organization as a politician. And if you're a powerful enough politician, who's going to audit you? Especially if people that have audited you before all of a sudden ended up dead. Who's going to do it? The love of money really is the root of all evil, people. Anyway, I was talking about Behemoth. And Genesis chapter 1, when it says in verse 24, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle, creeping thing, the beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. So anything that walked on the land, anything that walked on the land, that crept along the land. Any kind of cattle, bears, deer, squirrels, behemoths, whatever they were, they were made on day six, the same day that God made us on that day. So when we go back to Job, let's see here, Job chapter 40, God said it that way. He said, "Behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee." And I believe the Bible. You can give me all this carbon dating if you want to. You can date all the carbons you want to. I dated a carbon in high school one time. Never, didn't go very far. Anyway, you can use all the methods you want to of saying, we know this is 100 million years old. We know this is 65 million years old. We know this for a fact. The Bible says that he made Behemoth on the same day that he made man. So what do I believe? Who do I believe? What do I go with? Do I try to glue the two together to come up with theistic evolution or gap theory? No, I'll just believe what God said. God didn't say that he created these during a gap period of 100 million years ago. He said he created them, Behemoth, on the same day that he did mankind, which I made with thee, is what he said. And he said, "Lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a willow sprig? No. Like a dandelion? No. He moveth his tail like a cedar." Cedars are huge and can be huge. "The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are as strong as pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron." And God is telling you how big and how strong this creature is. God's telling Job all this for a reason. By the time he gets done telling him about Behemoth and then telling him about Leviathan, which obviously Job knew what they were. Not because Job had a team of archaeologists digging up their bones, but because Job lived with these creatures at this time. Yes, yes, they survived the flood. How? Well, we've seen dinosaur eggs. Dinosaur eggs, in comparison to some of the biggest dinosaurs that ever lived, dinosaur eggs are not that big. It may take a couple guys to pick one up. I don't know. But clearly they were not that big. One of the things that we know that's different between, let's say, us humans and animals that are in the reptile kingdom, whether they're snakes or they're Komodo dragons or they're lizards of any kind or whatever, one of the things that we know about them, in us, there's a gene that says at a certain point, stop growing. And I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I leave out in the morning and I look out over, there's a certain place I can just see all the tops of all the trees. And I often ask the question, how do those trees know where the cutoff line is? Because when I look out at the patch of woods there by where I live, when I'm on my way to work in the morning, I can clearly see that all those trees know exactly how tall to grow. And they all grow that same height, and then they stop. Doesn't matter how old they get, how many rings they end up with, how big their trunk is, they know when to stop growing as far as height is concerned. There's a gene that tells them this is it right here. But with the reptile kingdom, that gene is turned off or doesn't exist, or there's a different one in its place. And reptiles, snakes, things like that, for the entirety of their life, never stop growing. They never do. They can literally be, if you had your own Komodo dragon, which I wouldn't recommend, and you fed it well and took good care of it and gave it lots of love and water and attention and played ball with it, which I wouldn't recommend that either. But you did all these things with this Komodo dragon that you have, and it lived to be 100, 200 years old. That thing's going to be huge at the end of its lifespan. I mean, it is literally going to be huge. Now, remember, before the flood, how old is man living? Man's living 800, 900 years. But he's got a gene in him that tells him to stop growing at a certain height. These leviathans, behemoths, apparently don't. So they keep growing until literally their bones are like iron and brass. It's like almost unbreakable. Verse 19 says, "He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him." In other words, if God made him, God could kill him if he wanted to. He can make his sword approach him. God is not afraid of him. God is not afraid of Leviathan either. Not in any way is God afraid of these two creatures. And I think that Job was allowed to see probably the biggest of them. He picked out Leviathan, he picked out Behemoth. More than likely, with Leviathan, we are talking about some form of sea serpent. Maybe a plesiosaur, or maybe something entirely different that we don't know about. Because it lived, Leviathan lived in the water, naturally, we would never really find any of the remains of a dead Leviathan, because underwater remains, you just don't find them. They're eaten by other fish and different things like that. His bones are as strong as pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. And I think Job saw these things, and God wanted Job to know, Job, as big as these things are, I'm not afraid of them. I made them. If I wanted to kill them, I can. And then he said, 19, "He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. Surely the mountains bring him forth food, where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees in the covert of the reed and fence." Now that to me is interesting, because one of the things that you have when you have a large animal is you have a problem in that animal in keeping its body from overheating. The bigger the body is, the more heat that it generates. So now with Leviathan, it's not a problem. He lives in the water. He's not going to overheat. He's got surrounded by water. But with Behemoth, God designed it in his nature so that where he lives under the shady trees in the covert of the reeds and fens. In other words, he lives in places, number one, where he can probably, like hippos, keep his body cool. And number two, he lives in the shade. And he lets the mountains bring down his food. Whatever food it is he's eating, he lives at the base of a mountain. And that food, whatever it is just coming down off that mountain. He just opens his mouth and it rolls right in. Now there's a lesson for you there. You want God to feed you, let God put you in the place where God can feed you. Some of you have left church after church after church because you could not find a church to feed you. You were starving to death. Until you said, God, put us where you want us. I got an email today. It blessed my heart. This lady was writing to tell me that she finally, in the area that she lives in, she finally found a King James Bible church. And, I'm very thankful for that. But she said, now, Pastor, no, don't worry. She said, I'm not leaving you. She said, I watched your DNA video. And she said, watching that video made me want to know the creator of our DNA. And she said, I was saved after that video. Thank you. I made the Jesus Christ DNA video with the idea. I tried not to blow into too many conspiracy theories. I tried not to knock everybody else's religion off their foundations. That's not what I was there to do. I was just trying to lay out some things that I knew that most people had never seen before, that when they saw it, they would go, that is amazing. And all of that's in the Bible? There's no way the Bible could be written by men then. And if that's the case, then the Bible must be written by God, because now I realize that my DNA is written by God and they both match in the same way. And that's why I did that particular video. I did it twice. But that's why I did it the way I did it, was to try to lead somebody to Jesus Christ, and it worked. At least one that I know of. Hopefully more. But thank you for saying that. I needed that today. Okay? And by the way, pray for Michael Holanda. He is my son-in-law from Kenya. He was practically raised by his grandmother along with his mother. I see him sort of like Timothy. And Timothy's mother and grandmother were just godly women. And Michael's grandmother is the woman that I said, if she said, I heard from God or God told me this, I believed her. I instantly believed her because she had shown me so many times that she was right. And I loved her dearly. Godly woman. It was a pleasure to visit her house one day and to just sit in rocking chairs and hold this old woman's hand. Me being white, she being black, neither one of us cared, and that's how it's supposed to be. But, you know, something we didn't let out, because at the time, not even Michael's mom knew. But 2 days before Michael is supposed to come home from Kenya, he caught COVID for the second time. So that stuck him with being sick. And if you have COVID, you know how sick I'm talking about. For 2 weeks in Kenya. And then he gets home. And no more than a week and a half after he gets home, he finds out his grandmother died. And I've always told you people that the things that we're doing in Samburu and Turkana and other places in Kenya, we are both loved greatly and we are hated. And the hatred goes beyond just human hatred. Hatred goes into the spirit realm. And Michael is, he's been beat up, either by man or devil, every time he's gone to Kenya to do something. And it will be the grace of God that sustains him this time. If something happens and Michael cannot run those ministries, we won't run those ministries because I can't. I don't know the people, don't know how to do it. And beside that, we found out over the weekend that there are people putting up Facebook pages under our radio station's name that are not ours. And they're putting all kinds of vulgar stuff, New Age stuff on there. And people are thinking that that's coming out of our radio station. And we found that out just lately. Because a woman accused us of promoting the Illuminati and promoting Freemasonry and promoting all kinds of evil things. And I'm going, I didn't do this. But that's what we got accused of. So, I mean, this is a real fight. And but the people that we're fighting for, they're what I was talking about earlier, the beginning of the broadcast, Jesus separating the sheep from the goats. These are the people who I guess the world would say are the least of his brethren. They don't have big 1,000 seat auditorium churches. They don't have parking lots because nobody drives. They walk. They don't have expensive clothing. They don't have anything. And I want the people in Samburu and the people in Turkana to know that it is our pleasure to serve you. The pastors that are out there, it is our pleasure to serve you. And the soonest then that Sweetie Pie and I can get to both places, Samburu and Turkana, we will do that to help, to give hope, to try to give light and understanding for God's people. You're just like the behemoths. You're hungry and you have a big appetite. I was going to say a big mouth, but you have a big appetite and you need to put yourself in a place where you can be fed. And I'm telling you, I don't mind being a help ministry for God's people, but I am not in the place of God for you or anybody else. The Bible is. The Bible is God's word to you. And if you're hungry enough, you'll read it. And you'll read it every day. And you won't regret any of it. And your soul will be filled, my people. Verse 22, the shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river and hasteth not. He trusteth that he could draw up Jordan into his mouth. Think of the river that he's talking about. Jordan River. One of the most significant rivers in the Bible. I think it represents the Word of God. I think it represents the river of life that is given to us freely. In fact, where do we get rivers from anyway? Where do we get? Does some company up north of where you are manufacture water and pour it down rivers and then sell you the water? No! Rivers come to you freely from God as He drops down His doctrine as the gentle rain, as the dew upon the tender grass. That's where rivers come from. That's God sending down His doctrine and His words and the things that satisfy us when we drink them. When we drink them, and we love them so much, we don't want to go anywhere else for our water except this. I learned that going to Hot Springs, Arkansas. Hot Springs, Arkansas has hot springs. And then I don't know how they do it, but right next to it, ice cold springs. And there's a couple places there in town in Hot Springs where you can go and people will bring gallon jugs. They'll bring 5-gallon water cans and they can get all the water they want free. And that water comes up out of the ground. It is ice cold. And I'm telling you, you can taste the minerals in it so sweet, especially when it's cold. And when it's coming out of there cold and you drink that, you're just going, my goodness, that is the best water I've ever had in my life. That kind of stuff right there. That kind of water there. That good mineral spring water that's ice cold. And you think, man, there's nothing better than this. Tap water? Nah. Tap water is nothing compared to this water that's coming up out of God's earth. Beautiful stuff. Behold, he drinketh up a river and hasteth not. He trusteth he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. He taketh it with his eyes. His nose pierceth through snares. It means nothing can stop him. Nothing can withhold him. So I believe that these two things here are dinosaurs. I believe they are. I believe they're two of the biggest ones that God could find. One on land, one on the earth. Now, for those of you who do not believe, I showed you the footprints of the human and the dinosaur walking, obviously, on the same exact day, crossing one another's path on the same exact day. And then something happening, and those footprints were calcified and hardened nearly instantly. That's how they were preserved. Now, let me show you this. Back in the 50s or the 60s. In the town of Ica, Peru, farmers were digging up these rocks out of their fields. and they noticed that they had these carvings into them. Some of them polished stones. They brought them to a local, some kind of scientist. And they were asking them, what is this? And he started examining them. And he's going, I don't know. Where'd you find it? And they showed him look here, there's another one. They dug up another one. And he'd go out with them again and they'd say, let's just dig over here for a while. Sure enough, they dig up another one. My dad, I have his collection of Indian arrowheads. My dad, there was a field not too far from where my dad grew up in Jacksonville, Arkansas, that he knew every spring when that farmer plowed that field up, my dad knew there would be a fresh supply of Indian arrowheads out there. All he had to do is go out there and dig them up. Because the ground would keep turning them up over and over again. And I don't know, he left me probably about 1,000 arrowheads that were just left out there. Some of them in pretty good shape. Some of them were practice stones, you know, guys teaching their sons how to make them. Found all kinds of artifacts used for different things that they did in their daily life, like a pestle to ground things, something that looks like something they used to scrape the stuff off of hides when they tan their hides. This guy started paying the farmers locally who found these to bring them in. He wasn't paying them much. But he ends up with something like 50,000 of these things. Now, naturally, if you look at this up, it's a hoax. It's a hoax. Big hoax. It's been proven to be a hoax. Nothing to see here, people. Move on. It's a hoax only because it doesn't match the 65-million-year-old doctrine that dinosaurs died 65 million years ago. Every one of them died all of the same day. Lung cancer, they were smokers or whatever. Climate change, you know how it is. Flintstones driving those cars around, killing all the dinosaurs. They killed them all out 65 million years ago. So there is no way, according to these scientists, that these stones could be even close to being real. So they had to invent some. So they said, well, what do you think? He's paying them, so they're carving them out. Well, the guy's got like 50,000 of these stored in, you know, in this big thing that he had. And you have to do the math. In the lifetime that he collected these stones, out of 50,000 of these, how many of these would have to be made every year for this guy to have almost or well over 50,000 of these stones? Now, some of the stones are not depicting dinosaurs on them. Some of them are pagan with their different gods. Some of them are, let's just say pornographic. Okay? But obviously, you have... let me do this. I hate it when it does that. Let me change this here. Pin. This looks like that does look like a T-Rex. This guy, he has a knife. And he is attempting. To me, here's what's interesting. The arrow pointed tail of this particular creature is very interesting to me. Of course, it has wings. This guy's sitting on top of it. We don't know if he's getting a ride or whatever. This guy obviously is running from Thaddeus Rex, who does not want to be eaten, and it's not working out so well. Here's some others. Here's your tail like a cedar here. It's not a hippopotamus. You have here a triceratops. See the horns? There and there. Okay. The eyes, there's the eyes here, so on. Notice the designs, even the designs on the skin of these animals. Now, what you won't find in the 50s and 60s are the skin and design of dinosaurs that look like this. You won't find them. The drawings, in many cases, seem to be fairly unique in the way they depicted them. Here is a Stegosaurus here with the plates, the spiny plates, the bony plates on the back. There, right there. Some are varying size. Some are flying. Some are not. Some are walking on two legs, four legs. This one has got a man by the neck. Poor guy. Couldn't run fast enough. Again, Notice the same design on the skin. Now, whoever carved these was A, very creative and made this up. B, saw this and etched them on polished or unpolished stone and polished the stone, or C, copied the design from a book. But I'm not convinced that there were any books that had the skin design of some of these dinosaurs with these circular patterns in there. Again, check this out. The arrow tail. Okay, now that's been seen in other places. Men 400, 500, 600 years ago drawing devils with arrow-shaped tails. Where did they get that idea from? It's even on the, if you buy a can of deviled ham, the devil on the deviled ham can is going to have a little arrow tail. Where did that come from? Let's see here. There's Brontosaurus, possibly. This man is, he's either pursuing them hunting them, possibly. He's got an axe in his hand here. And again, about 50,000 of these were produced and brought to this scientist in Ica, Peru. And let's just say that, and see, there's more of that skin design that I was telling you about. It's very common on all of these. Let's just say that if these are fake, he had a lot of guys using some kind of tool, and the Dremel tool wasn't really, but they were using some kind of tool to etch these things out and then to make them appear as if they were thousands of years old. And they had to do a lot of them, into the thousands every single year. The problem is, no one has ever found any kind of factory or workhouse or warehouse where these things were being worked on. No one's, to my knowledge, that's not been discovered. This is one of my favorite. You got a Brontosaurus here. Boy, my grandson would know the names of every one of these. Notice you have a difference in the design of the skin here versus here. You have a Triceratops here. Possibly a T-Rex, or maybe something. You have a Stegosaurus back here in the background. This guy is on the back of this one, and obviously this one doesn't like him on the back of this one. He's trying to bite his leg off. So, here's something I want to say. Do I believe these things possibly could be true? Yeah, I do. I believe they are possibly true, and I believe they can be true because of what I already believe about the Bible. I did not examine these stones and then from these stones drew the conclusion that my Bible is right. See, that's backwards. That's backwards. I would never try to sell somebody on the idea that these Ica stones have been proven 100% true. Carved thousands of years ago. The evidence is in. Because there's always some guy out there that can supposedly disprove that they're thousands of years old and say they're nothing. And then what happens now to what I'm trying to tell somebody? They can say, well, we got scientists here that say they're all fake. So I would never, in a million years, I would never try to sell somebody on these Ica stones and say, you see this? This is 100% positive proof that what God said in Genesis, what he said in Job, is 100% right. Now, I believe that it supports it. But remember, if we're going to try to lead our friends, our family members, our loved ones to Christ, we don't pull stones out of the earth. We don't draw on, look at these footprints. Look at this footprint overlapping this dinosaur footprint in this creek bed. We don't do that. For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. My friends, if they will not believe the word of God. Now, you might try to use this as a subject of interest, like the DNA video. I used it as an attempt, a study of interest, to show that DNA is built just like the Bible is built. But the bottom line is, if I wasn't in that, let's say I made the whole DNA video and didn't use any scripture, I failed in trying to convince somebody that Jesus Christ is real, that he is the Savior of mankind, and you need to fall before him and confess your sins, and he will lovingly atone for every sin, past, present, future. And he will bring you into a promised land and you'll live forever. If I made the Jesus Christ DNA Holy Bible video and didn't quote scripture, I failed. I failed. And my friends, whatever it is you're trying to do, whoever it is you're trying to convince, whatever method you want to use, if you're not going to use Scripture, number one, you're wasting their time. Number two, you're violating God's Word. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So while things like this just fascinate the daylights out of me, I would love to go down and see all 50,000 of these guys' stones. Now again, some of them are, don't let your kids look at them, okay? But, and see, that's a thing that tells me that there's some legitimacy here. It isn't some doctor trying to prove that man walked with dinosaurs. Because there is a lot of the stones that don't even deal with the dinosaur issue. But the story is that obviously, man lived at a time when these creatures were seen with their eyes. Thus, the geologist and the anthropologist and the archaeologist and everybody else who says dinosaurs died out 65 million years ago and man wasn't even, we weren't even close to being a monkey then. Anybody who says that, totally wrong. But if I'm going to try to win somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ, if I'm going to help them with something, Scripture's it. Now, getting them to the Scripture, using things like this, I don't have a problem in the world with. The reason why we're going to Lost Wages, Nevada, And I'm taking just about every video that I can find that I've made on cryptozoology and ufology and paranormal things and so on and so on. The reason, because that's what those people are looking for. That's what has already captured their attention. And they're looking for truth. Now, I don't know that I'll go down and save any of them. But as long as they're there, and I know that I have the truth from the Word of God, and I believe I can reach somebody down there, I think it'd be worth it. I think it'd be worth it. By the way, I appreciate those of you who are letting us know that you're going to try to be there. I don't know that, you know, how many people we're going to need or, you know, how we're going to do everything yet. We're still in the video making process along with, you know, everything else, trying to get our mail outs done and so on. But I will be giving out more information of that as we go along. But I appreciate those of you who are wanting to help. I really do. Because I think there's going to be a lot of people there. And I think all of the most of the COVID issues that would have hindered something like this last year, obviously all of that's going away because people are being vaccinated and so on and so on. And they are lifting the restrictions and on and that. That's all well and good. But that's why we're going there. We're going there because we believe that we know what these things flying around these ships are. We believe we know what's behind them and what evil they represent and what evil they're going to bring to this earth. And if those people already believe in this stuff and we don't try to warn them, I think we've made a mistake. God's given me this information for a reason. I might as well use it. Amen. And your love and your appreciation for the work of this ministry, I can't begin to tell you enough how much it means to me. The prayers. Some of you pray for me every single day, and I'm telling you, the spiritual hits that we have endured the last few months, we've been hit harder before, worse before, but the devil threatens to undo this ministry, and I'm asking for your prayers. If God's in it, the devil can't touch it. If God's not in it, I don't deserve to be here. And I would be sitting this year. So I love you. I appreciate you. You're the reason why we do what we do. The Lord bless you. Again, pray for Michael and his family as they mourn the loss. Kenya funerals can go anywhere from 3 hours to 3 days. So pray, please pray for him. Please pray for him. I love him like a son. He's one of my good friends. And the work he does is absolutely phenomenal. So keep all of us in your prayers. And you are in mine. I love you very much.